Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll look at a new chapter, which is titled, How the Quran Was Gathered. I'm amazed when I looked at some of the material written here in our public schools in America concerning the topic that Muslims were bluntly opening their lips and lying throughout the sentence which is written for our children to believe in. So they said, for example, Muhammad gave commands for his followers to write the Quran, and they follow his structure exactly as how he wants them to do it. And that's how all took place before Muhammad died. Believe me, if that's not a lie from the bottom of hell, there is no hell to start with. This is truly 100% lie. And that is what we're going to be discovering here in our study. Because almost all the Muslim leaders agree that Muhammad died and there was no Quran. Nothing was gathered in any book about the Quran. And he said that the Quran was not gathered in a book because Muhammad did not know about all the changes which Allah is about to do or Allah was doing concerning the doctrine of abrogation in many of its commands or even its readings. As we know that there are three types of abrogation took place in the Quran. Sometimes the verses are completely gone, which means the reading and the practice of that verse was removed as if Muhammad never received these verses. And sometimes the verses were there and we still can read it until today, but Allah abrogated the command in these verses by new verses. And that's why Muslims follow the new commands of Allah, not the old verses of the Quran. And the third way of abrogation was that Allah removed the writings of the verses of the Quran from the Quran, but he still commands the Muslim believers to practice whatever was there in that verse before Allah removed. Because of these three changes, the doctrine of abrogation, Muhammad could not put the Quran in a book form. Because what if he wrote some verses which Allah changed his mind about it later by removing it from the Quran completely, with practicing its commands or without practicing its command? But Muslim scholars find out when Muhammad died, now the companion of Muhammad, those are the four follower leaders of the Muslims, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar ibn Khattab, Osman ibn Affan, and finally Ali. These people worked about putting the Quran in a book form before they lose whatever left over from it, which is a powerful statement, which means, as we already discovered, and we're going to continue to prove that as we continue in our studies, that many portions of the Quran were already disappearing even before any of these successors of Muhammad attempt to put the Quran in a written form. We don't have to forget that the Holy Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, was not with this description, but the prophets of God wrote it to the guidance of the believers to the straight way, to the true way. And these holy books of the Old Testament and the New Testament used to be read throughout the life of these prophets. And even the Apostle Paul, for example, he asked the readers of his letters to read these letters and share it with all other churches. So in simple words, they were using the writings of the Holy Bible in their worship. They used to recite it as long as the prophets and the messengers were alive and the apostles were alive. Not like the case of the Quran. It was spread in different bits and pieces here and there. Many of it were lost, and many were added, and many were taken out. Now we ask the question, how many people were very familiar with the Quran? The answer is given to us as stated by Bukhari, who stated that Abdullah ibn al-As said that he heard Muhammad saying, take the Quran out of four people, and they are Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Salim, Muaz, Abi ibn Ka'b. Four people Muhammad gave the advice to go and check the Quran with. He said, learn it from them. As for these four, we know that two of them were among the emigrant and two of the helpers. Those are the people who used to live in the city of Yathrib before Muhammad took it by the edge of the sword, renaming it to Medina, which is the city of Muhammad. Now, both of Salim and Muaz were killed during the life of Umar. As for Ibn Mas'ud and Abi were killed during the life of successor Osman ibn Affan. As for Zayd ibn Thabit, who came later after them, as Muslim scholars stated that in his life it ended the reading of the Quran and he lived many years after that. Bukhari also stated that Qatada said he asked Anas ibn Malik concerning the collection of the Quran during the life of the Messenger of Allah, he meant Muhammad. He said, four, all of them from the Ansar, the helpers, and he named them to be Ibn Abi Ka'b, Muaz ibn Jabal, and Zayd ibn Thabit, and Abu Zayd. So he asked, who is Abu Zayd? He said, one of my cousins. And it was also said from the way of Ibn Thabit that Anas said, the Prophet died and there was no Quran written, but there were four who were able to do, and these are Abu Darda, Muaz ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Thabit, and Abu Zayd. And one hadith after one hadith, we will read different names for different people whom we sought. We know for sure they are the people who have knowledge of the Quran, and from them we can learn the Quran. Some of the Imam continue to hold on to the fact that the Quran was taught and given by these four, no matter what names we have there. But some of the atheists did not do that, but they actually used the opinion of Anas, and they take advantage of that opinion to say, look, here we know for sure that many of the Quran were lost, especially the verses which will help them to prove their tradition or their denomination. For these four died before the collection of the Quran. And they said there were many of the reciters of the Quran who died before the collection of the Quran. Al-Qurtubi stated, in the Battle of Yamama, 70 of those who recite the Quran were killed. And during the life of Muhammad in Bir Mauna, similar number also were killed. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq found that case, he was terrified from the loss of the Quran. And because he was terrified, Al-Bukhari stated that in his correct hadith that Zayd ibn Thabit said that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq sent to him in Yamama where Umar ibn Khattab was with Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr said to him that Umar came to me and he told me about the many who were killed in the Battle of Yamama, those who are the reciters of the Quran. And I'm afraid that if the war will continue like that in other places, then we will lose the Quran. So I see that I command you to collect the Quran. So Zayd ibn Thabit said to Umar, how can we do something the Apostle of Allah did not do? Did you hear the question of Zayd ibn Thabit, the man who will collect the Quran and put the Quran in a book form? He said, how can we do something like that, which is collecting the Quran, where the Prophet of Allah did not do, which is the opposite of what they teach our children in our public schools in America. And that is the same lie Muslims teach all over America. Zayd ibn Thabit did not want to collect the Quran simply because Muhammad never asked for that or never ordered anybody to do that. But Umar answered Zayd ibn Thabit, Allah knows best. And the argument went on and on between Umar and Zayd ibn Thabit until Allah opened Zayd ibn Thabit's chest and he saw to do what Umar and Abu Bakr Siddiq asked him to do. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, "You are a young man, a wise one. We will not blame you. And you used to write the revelation to the Messenger of Allah. So follow the Quran and collect it. By Allah," Zayd ibn Thabit said, "have they asked me to remove one of the mountains, it will be much easier for me to do what you have commanded me to do, which is the collection of the Quran." And once again, he said, "How can we do something the Apostle of Allah did not do?" Once again, the answer was, "It is Allah, and Allah knows best." And Abu Bakr continued to argue with Zayd ibn Thabit once again until Allah opened his chest, which means he changed his mind about not collecting the Quran, but he found it to be okay to collect the Quran.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Zayd ibn Thabit continued to say he collected the Quran and listened to what kind of material he used to collect the Quran. Palm leaves, bones, chest of men, piece of papyrus, and so on with many other materials. But the most important part that he said he collected from the chest of the men. Well, we have to ask a question. What about the men who died and no one else memorized the verses which they used to know except them? When they died, this portion of the Quran died and ended with them. But then Zayd ibn Thabit said he found the last portion of Quran chapter 9, which is a book of repentance, with a man by the name Abi Khuzaima al-Ansari. And he said he did not find anyone else but him. And that is a portion which states, "Indeed, a messenger from among yourself came to you. It is dear to him that you suffer. He cares for you, compassionate, merciful with the believers. So if they turn away, so say, Allah is sufficient for me. There is no God but him. I depend on him, and he is the Lord of the great throne." These pages were put together with Abu Bakr Siddiq until Allah caused him to die. Then from him, these pages were taken to Umar all his life. Then it was with Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. But in another story, we read that Abu Bakr personally asked Zayd ibn Thabit to do that, but he obeyed until he asked Umar to help him to convince him. So Zayd ibn Thabit collected the Quran. And we can read the story written in many different ways with many different information from Muslim so-called scholars. These sources speaking to us that the people who memorized the Quran died and nothing was written from them. And that's why Abu Bakr Siddiq was terrified. That's why he asked Zayd to collect the Quran from different places and different sources. And he was the man who put the Quran together during the life of the first successor, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Notice once again, Muhammad did not ask the Muslim believers to collect the Quran or to learn the Quran from Zayd ibn Thabit, but he simply gave us four names: Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Salim, Mu'az, and Abi ibn Ka'b. And those men died before the Quran was ever put in a book form. Therefore, we have a problem to accept the collection of Zayd ibn Thabit, especially when we know from him that he actually put verses in the Quran without the second source. For the rule was, when he collects the Quran, whatever verses he put in his Quran must be given from two different people. And somehow the closing statement of the Quran, which I recite to you, was not given but by one man, and that is Abi Khuzaimah al-Ansari. As I mentioned earlier, Abu Zayd ibn Thabit collected the Quran from some strange materials: palm leaves, bones, shoulders of animals, papyrus, and whatever materials was there, beside also from the hearts of the people, those who memorized some portion of the Quran. And I wonder, how in the world can you collect 286 verses, for example, that is Quran chapter 2, from all these materials, when you realize this is written literally 600 years after Christ, when the norm in the Jewish beliefs and the Christian beliefs that the entire books of the Bible were written in one scroll. Originally, from the beginning, one scroll. And when the early Christian and the early Jews made copies, they made it in the same way. They made it perfectly, meaning they know exactly how many words are written in every book, how many letters are written in every book. So you can always go back and examine the writings of the new copies of the old copies to be perfectly matched to that which is originally written. Here we see the Quran is collecting from different materials, and the chance for somebody to put it together in just few verses, it is unbelievable. It is impossible. Abu Bakr and Umar told Zayd ibn Thabit, sit in front of the mosque and two people will come to you and they will tell you about the verses they remember from the Quran, and that's how you write it down. And Zayd ibn Thabit did not write any verses except with two witnesses. But the last portion, which I mentioned earlier to you, which is the end of the Quran, was only found by one man, Abu Khuzaimah ibn Thabit. So Abu Bakr told Zayd ibn Thabit, write it down. Surely the Messenger of Allah made his witness equal to two men. What a great fabrication. Just to put the end of the Quran, which could not be found but by one man. Somehow that man became two men in the eyes and in the sight of Umar, as he claimed that is exactly what Muhammad said. On the other hand, Umar came with the verse of the stoning of the adulteress, but Zayd ibn Thabit did not write it down because it was only given by Umar, when in reality, to me, Umar is more important than Abi Khuzaimah ibn Thabit. After all, he became the successor of Abu Bakr Siddiq. From that we know for sure that many of the Quran was gone. For Muhammad was super busy not to write the revelation of Allah in a book form, but he was busy invading many villages and many cities around where he used to live. And many of the verses of the Quran used to be descended on Muhammad during his traveling, during his immigration, and even at the time of spreading the spoils of war among the Muslim fighters. Once again, we cannot compare that comedy of the collection of the Quran and the writing of the Quran to that which is written in the Bible. When Jesus spoke, he spoke openly before many of the noble people among the Jews, their scholars, their leaders, that in many times we see they were amazed of his knowledge and his understanding. Even when Jesus was just 12 years old, all the teaching of the New Testament were written by the people who were eyewitnesses, and the believers used to read it in the church. Similar to that, the writing of the Old Testament by the prophets and how the Jewish people kept it in excellent condition throughout the years of the life of the prophet and even until Christ came. The disciples of Jesus spoke openly before the philosophers, kings, and emperors. The Holy Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, were never written on palm leaves or some soft rocks or some animal skin or some bones of some creatures or even pieces of wood, but was always written in a scroll. And it was kept in the temples and in the churches and in their homes. They did not need to bring a witness of two people about what is written, because it was written originally by those who received the words of God by the power of the Holy Spirit from God Himself. Taking the words of God from the mind of people could bring many errors, for people are far from perfect, especially when we know in reality that many of the verses of the Quran were written after the people who memorized it, the original people, were killed in many of these battles. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.